Shri Chaitanya Lila, Chapter 7, Text 104, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Tomar bachan shuni jurai shravan.
Tomar bachan shuni jurai shravan.
Tomar adhuri deki jurai nayan.
Tomar adhuri deki jurai nayan.
Tomar bachan shuni jurai shravan.
Tomar bachan shuni jurai shravan.
Tomar adhuri deki jurai nayan. Dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, they means the Mayavadi sannyasis. Dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, to tell you the truth, we are greatly pleased to hear your words, and furthermore, your bodily features are so pleasing that we feel extraordinary satisfaction in seeing you. Purport in the Shastras. It is said, Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahimindriyai Sevon Mukhe Hiji Vado Srayameva Spurityadaha. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His name, form, qualities, or paraphernalia. But if one renders service unto Him, the Lord reveals Himself. Here one can see the effect of the Mayavadi sannyasis, service toward Narayana, because they offered a little respect to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and because they were pious and actually followed the austere rules and regulations of sannyas. They had some understanding of Vedanta philosophy, and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they could appreciate that He was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is endowed with all six opulences. One of these opulences is His beauty. By His extraordinarily beautiful bodily features, the Mayavadi sannyasis recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayana Himself. He was not a farcical Narayana, like the Daridra Narayanas invented by so-called sannyasis. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yatapata Kamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavam Sha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Origina Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamas Cha Sri Krishna Titanda Prabhupadam Sri Pritivirata Sri Vasani Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. From these narrations given in scripture, many, many points to be learned and understood. This story so far, in brief, goes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, returning from Vrindavan to Puri, coming through Varanasi, was dancing and chanting in the streets of Varanasi, which is now, was at that time also, a great center of Mayavad, big hangout for Mayavadis and Buddhists also. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, sannyasi, and he was dancing and chanting in the streets with anyone who wanted to come, which meant most of the population of the city except the Mayavadi sannyasis, who were also not a small number. Prakashananda Saraswati was their leader, and there were 60,000 of them. It was a big group. But they didn't like what he was doing at all. They were, why? Sannyasi is supposed to be very grave. Study the Vedanta Sutra. He should study the Vedanta Sutra and be very austere. And especially because sannyasis in the Shankara Sampradaya or the Mayavad Sampradaya, they must come from the Brahmin caste. If you want to be, according to their understanding, if you want to be liberated and merge into the impersonal Brahman, the first condition, you have to be born in a Brahmin family. That's their idea. And then you can take sannyas. And then you can consider yourself Narayana. This is their idea. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. They accepted that. He was born in a Brahmin family, from their point of view. He was an ordinary person born in a Brahmin family, and he had taken sannyas from a Bharati sannyasi, one of the accepted Mayavad sampradayas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas apparently from Mayavadi. Of course, he also initiated him first of all as a Vaishnava and then went through his pastime of taking initiation from him. But despite their idea, the Mayavadi sannyasis, that all is one, one is all, I am you, and you are me, and we are all together in the modern version, they have this caste pride. So they don't like to mix with low caste people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mixed with everybody in the streets, singing and dancing. So they were criticizing so much. Who is this? Supposed to be a sannyasi. What is he doing? So they were accustomed to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the stage was set for a showdown when one Maharashtrian Brahmana, this Maharashtrian Brahmana appears, is some significant role in Chaitanya Charitamrita. His name is never given, it's just Maharashtrian Brahmana, that's all. So he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a policy that he would never eat with Mayavadi sannyasis, because who you eat with, it affects your association. He was very strict. He didn't like to eat with them. He didn't associate with them at all. And that made them more upset. That here we are, we're all sannyasis. He's not associating with us. He's not coming and offering respects to our leader, Prakashananda, who is very critical of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would take meals in the house of Tapan Mishra, who was a Brahmana, who he had sent from Bengal before he took sannyas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in East Bengal, he met Tapan Mishra, who was confused about the goal of life and how to attain it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gati Aranyata. Specifically told him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Tapan Mishra said, this is wonderful. Now I'd like to live with you forever. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. Go to Varanasi. I'll meet you there. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just got married for the first time. And he was yet to get married for the second time and take sannyas. But already it seems he had the plan, because he told him, go. Go there. I'll meet you there. So he was there. But there were very few Vaishnavas there. Tapan Mishra was thinking, look, what a horrible place Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent to, even though it's a famous holy place on the bank of the Ganga. But it's not very much appreciated by Vaishnavas, because everywhere there's simply talk of the impersonal Brahman. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him there because he had some special service to do, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there for 1 month and gave his association to the few devotees who were there. To the few, and of course he chanted and danced with everyone, but he had very few inner devotees, because that was a place of Mayavad. So he was taking meals in the house of Tapan Mishra. That's also very interesting, because when he was in Puri, Sarvam Bhattacharya invited, you come and take with me meals 1 month in my house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, it's not the duty of a sannyasi. I'm not going to take meals in your house. I'll take meal in your house for 1 day only. So there's some bargaining, just like in the market in India. The shopkeeper will say, these vegetables are 20 rupees a kilo, and then they say, no, it's only 10 rupees, and they'll come to some midpoint, okay, 15 rupees. So like that, Sarvam Bhattacharya was saying, 30 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said 1 day, and they fixed 5 days. That was the maximum. He didn't stay any more time. He refused. He said, it's not my duty as a sannyasi to always take in your home. But when he came to Tapan Mishra, when he came to Varanasi, then he took in Tapan Mishra's home every day, because there was no other Vaishnava to take from. Of course, he could have taken in the home of Chandrasekhar, but because the Brahmin, Tapan Mishra from Brahmin, it was from Brahmin caste, so Brahmins at home, they're worshipping Shanagram Shiva, so they wanted to take prasad. So he would generally take in the home of Brahmins. So he was not mixing with the Mayavadis, and definitely wasn't going to eat with them. And the Maharashi and Brahmin knew this, but at the same time he was very upset that everywhere we go, we hear these Mayavadi sannyasis are criticizing Lord Chaitanya, and it must have created some confusion in the minds of the people, because they were so much attracted to Lord Chaitanya. Wherever he would go to take bath at the Ganga, crowds of people would gather around him, attracted by his beautiful bodily features. He would raise his long arms, which reached down to his knees. He would raise them in the air and call out to everyone, "Chant! Hari! Hari!" And all the people would join with chanting. So people were attracted to him, but at the same time they respected the sannyasis, a very highly respected people. Sannyasis were very critical. So the Maharashtrian Brahmin, he was very upset that these three devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Varanasi, that Maharashtrian Brahmin, Chandrasekhar, the writer, the scribe, and Tapal Mishra, so they were very upset that always hearing this criticism, what to do. So then one day the Maharashtrian Brahmin came and fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and said, "I've invited all the Mayavadi sannyasis, and I also want to invite you. I know you don't accept such invitations, but still I'm inviting." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed. And then this pastime began, that all the sannyasis were sitting there and they were waiting. They were getting ready to blast him. "What are you doing? You're supposed to be a sannyasi. You're singing in the streets. You don't study Vedanta. You don't associate with us. You're a blot on the sannyas order." They were ready to blast him. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in and he washed his feet. That's a custom in India, that people wash their feet because they go bare feet in the dusty road. So they wash their feet before they come. Especially the sannyasis will go barefoot. They wash their feet before they go in. All the sannyasis were sitting inside. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in that place, which is apavitra. That's impure, because that's where people wash their feet. So he's sitting there. Why is he sitting there? He's in a dirty place. And then they were seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were looking at him. Actually, how beautiful he is. They were appreciating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited some effulgence to show that actually he is Narayan, because the Mayavadi sannyasis, they consider themselves Narayan. They greet each other, "Namo Narayana." "All glories to you, Narayana." "And all glories to you, Narayana, also. How are you doing today?" "Well, it's got a bit of a toothache." "Never mind, go to the dentist. They'll look after you," whatever they may say. But they saw, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his beauty, he's very beautiful. Such beauty they don't have. They're all so-called Narayanas with toothaches and sagging, wrinkled faces and lots of grim looks on their face. But they could appreciate how, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he probably really is Narayana. So they asked, why are you sitting there in that dirty place? Why don't you come and sit with us? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just opposite to that, they're always seeing that I'm from a higher sampradaya. Which kind of sannyasi are you? Oh, you're Chaitanya, or you're from initiated by Keshav Bharati? That's a lower sampradaya. I'm from better sampradaya. So even though they think all is one, but I'm better than you. That's the funny way of thinking. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the humility that I'm not fit to sit with. I'm from a heen sampradaya. I'm from a lesser sampradaya than you. I'm not fit to sit with you. So by his humility, they were charmed. They're not used to that. So Prakashananda himself, personally, being very pleased with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's behavior, took him by the hand and brought him into the assembly. Then there was some discussion, but they become a little humble, which was now by appreciating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty and by that little service Prakashananda Saraswati did of taking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the hand, offering him respect, sitting him in the assembly.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu counted that he'd done some devotional service, because such people, they're so unlikely to do devotional service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ocean of mercy. He wanted to deliver everyone. He took sannyas for the purpose of delivering everyone, especially in Navadip, the Parava Adham, the fallen scholars, puffed up scholars. They thought that they were not treating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very properly, so he thought, I'll take sannyas and then they'll respect me. So in this way, he caught everyone in the net of his loving affairs. Everyone was caught in the net, except the Kashi Mayavadi, the Mayavadis of Varanasi. Because they weren't respecting him because he's sannyasi. Why should we respect him? He's a new sannyasi. I'm an oldest. I've been Narayan longer than him. Who does he think he is? He's from a lower sampradaya. So they didn't respect him. Plus they are hardened cases, tough nuts. They're thinking, I'm Narayana, I'm better than everyone, I'm God. And no trace of bhakti, because Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Mayavadis, they are offenders to Krishna, because they think that they take him to be blind, deaf, dumb and lame. They think that God has no form, cannot speak, cannot talk, cannot walk, cannot think. So they are offenders, so very difficult to deliver. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted this policy of humility in his dealings, and he charmed them, and that little chink in their armor, little bit of, tiny bit of appreciation, that awakened within their hearts. Because everyone, even if they're a complete demon or a Mayavadi, within everyone's heart is love of Krishna, even if it's very much covered over. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his personal presence, awakened that. And that little bit of service, what is that? That Alposheva Bahumani Kari Atma Prasad, that's stated here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if anyone does a little service, Krishna takes it as something very great. And he gives the mercy of giving himself. So here's a great example that there was practically no hope of the Mayavadis doing any service, because all they were doing is making offenses. Day and night. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted that now they've done a little service, all right. Let's give them love of God. Of course, they weren't right there yet. They were still ready to... They were not so aggressive as they might have been, but still they challenged him, even though they were... respecting him, their minds were a little changed, but still they asked him that they directly asked him that, why are you associating with all these low class people? Why are you not studying Vedanta? Why are you singing in the streets? So they directly challenged him, but they were a little humble and ready to listen. Otherwise, they weren't ready to listen. They were sure our position is correct. According to all the shastras, the sannyasi should study Vedanta Path Dhyan. They should study Vedanta and they should do meditation. These are the duties of a sannyasi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his behavior, he softened them up a little bit, so much so they could listen to him. And then he spoke with them. And actually, on one side, although they had so much... They'd made so many offenses. On the other hand, they were very pious because they were living in a holy place, regularly bathing in the Ganga, studying Vedanta, which is a pious activity. Of course, it's impious to study Vedanta and come to a Mayavad conclusion. But there's some piety just even in chanting and studying and following austerities. So there's some benefit from that. Even if one is making offenses, there's some benefit. Of course, that benefit will never... One can never get the actual benefit of doing all these things unless he comes in contact with a pure devotee. Otherwise, it becomes a material pious benefit. That's why sometimes in the scriptures it's said that all these activities without Krishna consciousness, whether it's giving in charity, or living in a holy place, performing austerities, taking sannyas, they're all actually useless without devotional service. Shama eva hi kevalam. It all becomes useless. But on the other hand, these pious activities do become an asset if one has the opportunity to take to devotional service. Prabhupada gave the example, there may be a row of zeros, it's many zeros altogether come to zero. But if a one is put with them, then it all becomes very valuable. So Prabhupada gave the example, he said, your Western civilization is all zero. Your learning, your intelligence, your technological advancement. But if you put Krishna, the one substantive principle, in front of all of that, then it all becomes very valuable. If you have 100 zeros and you put, it's all zero, but if you put a one at the beginning, it becomes a very big number. So even more so, what to speak of this, all this ugra karma of the Western countries. But if one is following the Vedic principle, it's all zero, unless there's Krishna consciousness. But then, if Krishna consciousness is added to that, then it becomes very valuable. You see, the Mayavadi sannyasis are already accustomed to rising in the early in the morning, following the principles of Brahmacharya, respecting the Guru, bathing in the Ganga, reciting the Shastras. These are all laudable activities if they're done in Krishna consciousness. If they're not done in Krishna consciousness, well, a miss is as good as a mile. You miss the point. But if you have that habit, then it's, and you, that becomes applied in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti yoga prayojitaha. If that's applied in Krishna consciousness, then it becomes very valuable. That's why we see, I was talking yesterday on Vaishnava culture and Vedic culture. If people are brought up in Vedic culture and then they get the association of a pure devotee and take up pure devotional service, then it becomes very easy for them to become Krishna conscious. That's why Prabhupada many times said it's very easy for people born in India to become Krishna conscious, because they're already, of course, times have changed and are changing, but in general people are accustomed to going to temples, associating with sadhus. At least previously people were accustomed to rising early in the morning and doing puja, so they already have a taste for that. Of course it's often misled and they end up worshipping someone who's not God as God, and so it all becomes really completely useless, all these things, worse than useless. But if that training and that tendency is directed in the right way towards Krishna, then it's very easy for them to be Krishna conscious. They're already used to that. Those of us who are brought up in the Western countries, it's a complete change of life to take to Krishna consciousness. And sometimes we may find that very difficult. But if someone is brought up with the Vedic principles, then for them to rise early in the morning, it's not a very difficult thing. I remember one devotee, Atmatapa Prabhu, you may not have heard of him. He was telling me that when he was arguing with the devotees when he first met them, you can imagine. But they said, well, you come and live with us at least for a few days. So he agreed, why not? So then they said, put on tilak. He said, all right. And he put it on and said, all the money. He said, how do you know that? I don't know. Why shouldn't I know it? I've been doing it since I was 4 years old. Just I stopped doing it because I became God in the meantime. So we know those things. We know that automatically they know that. Even the Mayavadis, their piety is there. They're reciting the name of God. Because even the smartest, they'll recite, the name of Vishnu removes all sins. So they'll regularly chant the name of Vishnu. Now, if they chant the name of Vishnu and they come to the conclusion, I am Vishnu, then again, it's wrong. This is what the Mayavadis, they make a big mistake and they're condemned for that. But on the other hand, as Prabhupada said, as far as philosophy is concerned, the Vaishnava philosophy is the same as the Mayavad philosophy. Did you hear that? Up to the point of liberation. Let's qualify that statement. Up to the point of liberation, it's the same philosophy and the same culture. Mayavadis and devotees, they all agree that we have to follow the Vedas. You see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was arguing with Mayavadis on point of understanding Vedanta Sutra, understanding the Vedas. So they both accept the Vedic knowledge is perfect. They both accept the name of Vishnu is purifying and delivers from sin. They all respect Ganga, Guru, gold, cows. So the culture is the same, and even the philosophy is the same up to the point of liberation. You all agree that we're not the body, we're a spirit soul. Human life is meant for understanding, spiritual knowledge. This is the purpose of human life. We're transmigrating from body to body to body in 8,400,000 species of life. So human life, atato brahma jignasa. Human life is meant for inquiring into the absolute truth. So both mayavadis and devotees, they agree on all these things. The culture is the same and the preliminary stages of the philosophy are the same. So this atato brahma jignasa, this is the first verse of or sutra, of Vedanta Sutra. But then the second, so the Vaishnavas and mayavadis, they agree on that. But then what is that brahma? Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma? Janmadhyasya yataha. The absolute truth is the source of all emanations. So mayavadis and devotees, they also agree on that. But what is that brahma? What is that absolute truth? That then comes the difference. Difference? So mayavadis, they say there's no difference. But there's a difference between the philosophies of the mayavadis and the devotees, because the mayavadis, they say that there is no difference. Brahma, eko advatiya, eko ekadvatiya. There is one and no second, only one substance. But the Vaishnavas, they have a different philosophy, although according to the mayavadis, it can't be different, because everything's all the same. But the Vaishnavas have a different philosophy, that the absolute truth is one but with varieties also. Therefore we have the Vishishta Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, the oneness, philosophies of oneness and difference, Vaishnava philosophies. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the ultimate understanding of all philosophy, Achintya Bheda Dvaita, that the Supreme Lord is one with and different from everything. How so? That is inconceivable. Everything is done by his achintya shakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will explain all this in his discussion. What is the meaning of achintya? He gives the example that just like the touchstone from the Chintamani, the touchstone, so many non-gold items can be produced into gold. It is inconceivable. It doesn't work according to the ordinary laws of nature. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if that is possible even for a material object, then how so, how much more is that possible for the absolute truth, who is avang manasa gochara, who is beyond the scope of understanding of the mind, body and words. So the absolute truth is one without a second, but at the same time, eko bahusyam, because the Mayavadis from the Upanishads, that the Mayavadis, they like to discuss on the Upanishads, but here in the Upanishads it's stated that the one that the Mayavadis are very fond of discussing, eko bahusyam, has become many. Nityo nityanam, what is that verse? Chaitanas chaitananam, then?
Eko
Bahunam. Eko Bahunam. So Eko means one, and Bahuna means many. Nitya Nityanam. Nitya means the one, and Nityanam refers to the many. So these are the words of the Upanishads also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining how this apparent contradiction, the one has become many, is possible by the inconceivable potency of the Absolute Truth. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing how Mayavadis can be preached to and defeated. Of course, these were traditional Mayavadis who, at least they believed in the Vedic literatures, and they discussed on the basis of the Vedic literatures, whereas modern, in the Western countries, we have so-called Mayavadis, but they don't know what the Vedic literatures are. And even if they're defeated, they're so stupid they can't even understand they're defeated. Even if they are defeated, they're completely defeated, then they still stick to their position. Whereas at least the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi, they had enough culture that when they were defeated, they knew it and they accepted that we have to follow. That was the culture. Just like Keshav Kashmiri was traveling all over and he wanted to defeat all other scholars. What happens if other scholars become defeated? You have to become the disciple. You have to follow their philosophical conclusion, because what you took to be correct has been defeated. Therefore, why should you stick to it? Then you should follow someone whose philosophical conclusion is better than yours. That was the system. So they had that much honesty. So these Mayavadi sannyasis, they were ready. They knew they had, when they were defeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they had to accept, and they did. They joined him in the kirtan, which they were so much against previously. They were ready to join in the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these are his wonderful activities. It is said that an incarnation, one of the symptoms of an incarnation of God is that he performs wonderful activities. So sometimes people ask, what are the wonderful activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He did, Varahadev appeared out of the nostril of Brahma and very soon became so big that on his own nostril he could pick up the whole earth planet. And there are some wonderful activities. Krishna, he picked up the Govardhan Hill when he was a small boy, 5 years old, and held it for 7 days on the little finger of his left hand. So what are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful activities? These wonderful activities are more wonderful than Varahadev picking up the earth. Even someone can pick up the earth. Of course, not anyone can pick up the earth. Only God can do that. But even that is not as wonderful an activity as delivering the Mayavadis, because that's a more difficult task. Because they are the earth, I mean, there are laws of material nature, laws of gravitation. So if someone has enough physical strength, he can pick up the earth even. And we can't imagine, because we can only pick up some kartal or maybe a big bale of hay or something like this. Something a little heavy, but we can't imagine picking up the earth. But if you have enough strength, you can do it. It's like an ant, he can't pick up the kartal. But it's impossible even for a whole nest of ants. Even a whole group of them together can't do it, even though they're strong. You can see the ant, they pick up something bigger than itself, but they can't pick that up. If you have enough physical strength, you can pick up the earth. And certainly Varahadev has enough strength to do that. So that is possible by physical laws. But we see that the Mayavadis, their hearts are so hard that to pierce that is more difficult than picking up the earth. There's no physical method to do that. Of course, Prabhupada says sometimes you should kick them in the face with boots. That's one physical method of dealing with Mayavadis. But as far as changing their minds, making them devotees, and making them join in the kirtan, dancing and chanting, very difficult. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it. Not everyone can do that. Even some devotees, they were writing to Prabhupada and said, we'd like to preach the Mayavadis. Prabhupada said, don't. Prabhupada said, don't preach to them. He said, you can't defeat them. More likely you'll join them than they'll join you. You're not competent to speak with them. It's a very difficult task because their hearts are just like stone. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu melted their heart. Poshu Paki Jure Pashana Bidure Shuni Jara Guna Gatha. That's said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even the birds and beasts will cry about hearing of his qualities. Even the stone will melt. So actually the stone has melted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would stand at the back of the temple in Puri and he would be seeing Jagannath, and tears would incessantly flow from his eyes. So we're at that spot where he stood, the tears would melt the stone so that his footprints are embedded there. So actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu melted stone. But even that is not as surprising as melting the stone-like hearts of the Mayavadis. Was so cruel that they even want to make God, who is the dearly Krishna, the dearly beloved of everybody, they want to make him blind. They want to cut his Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You'll find in Chaitanya Bhagavata, there's one rascal in Varanasi by the name of Prakashananda Saraswati. He wants to cut my eyes out, cut my ears off, break my legs. Why? Because he's saying that God has no form. He cannot see, he cannot hear, he cannot walk, cannot talk. So he wants to do this to me. They're so cruel, so nasty. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took a very humble position, reciprocated with them, and he reciprocated their cruelty towards him by very sweet behavior, and somewhat melted their hearts so they were ready to listen to him. And then he spoke. While he was speaking, he was able to convince them that actually their philosophy is just a bunch of rubbish, which it is. And then they followed him. Of course, Prabhupada, we see in his dealings with Mayavadis, he was more using the boot in the face technique, not literally, but verbally. There's so many cases. Once Prabhupada was invited to a meeting, Gita Samelam, where all big Mayavadis were speaking on the Bhagavad Gita, all with the wrong meaning, of course, because they're Mayavadis. What else will they speak with the wrong meaning? So, in the room after the program, Prabhupada was just these big famous Mayavadis, famous all over India. Prabhupada was just blasting them. You cheaters, you rascals. Why are you cheating in the name of Bhagavad Gita? You know, this is not Bhagavad Gita. And they tried to argue, but Prabhupada just become more angry and rude. He said that Prabhupada was just smashing them. And they had nothing to say. Actual message of Gita, Prabhupada was saying, Manmana Bhagavad Bhakta, always say to Krishna, become his devotee. And you are speaking all this rubbish and cheating people. So one way or another, Prabhupada was preaching to these Mayavadis. See this pranam mantra of Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshitai. How the Mayavadi influence is so strong. Prabhupada wanted to defeat that. Actually, this chapter of Adi Leela, chapter 7, this was the first part of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada translated. He didn't translate Adi Leela chapter 1 first. He translated chapter 7 first. This discussion with the Mayavadis, and had it printed as a book, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, and had that distributed. And he said this should be given to every Mayavadi sannyasi in India. Now in BBT in Mumbai, we want to do that, print this and give this to every Mayavadi sannyasi. And probably we have it distributed. I remember when I first joined, we were distributing this. We're giving this book to people, and even we can't understand, it's so complex. Prabhupada wanted it distributed. He wanted it, he took this very seriously to defeat the Mayavadi philosophy. Yeah, very difficult to understand. And I was reading this chapter many times before. What's it all about? It's very difficult. It's very difficult to understand. Very complex. They say everything is one, but it's very complex oneness. If it's just one, if it's one, it's just one. Something that's a little complex inside. But something one, it should be able to understand. It's not many. It's not 1,563 trillion. It's one. It should be easy to understand. Their philosophy is very complex. And once a devotee asked Prabhupada, he's reading these things, he said, Prabhupada, I'm reading all this about Mayavada, but I don't understand it at all. Prabhupada said, that's good. If you understand, you're in trouble. It doesn't make any sense. So better we should understand the Vaishnava philosophy, which is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, and distribute Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sivangai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.